This whole thing's a, you know, an experiment every time, so. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Technologies, I love technologies because it really helps our life and to be connected, you know. I mean, from different countries, you know, like parts of the world. But at the same time, it could be like, you know, every time something new come up, and it just doesn't work.
Well, the Canon is not working. So, okay, turning that off and we'll just use the webcam. Whatever. That's the other thing I've learned from technology is you have to be flexible. Otherwise, you're just going to go nuts. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something quick into this other camera. And then we will get started.
Hey guys, this is David Sneed. I'm a missionary in Lviv, Ukraine, and today we are talking to Andriy Denisov. Hey Andriy, how you doing, man?
Hey man, how are you? I'm good.
Good to hear. When we're speaking in English, do you prefer Andriy or Andrew?
If we're speaking in English, I think it will be better Andrew. It's Andrew. Easier to pronounce in English, but Andriy makes sense as well. No, let's stick with Andrew, no problem.
Sweet, alrighty, Andriy Denisov. So yeah. Andriy and I are friends. He's a fellow minister of the gospel here in Lviv, Ukraine, and he's actually one of the preachers in our church, like our mother church, our sending church, if you will, here in Lviv. Their church planted our church. So he's also a businessman. And how would you like people to contact you if they want to get in touch with you online?
Let's do Facebook, for example. I can send you a link. That.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. So I'll put that in the description. So tell me about yourself, your family, your work, your ministry. What do you do, man?
Oh, okay. So, first of all, I'm a husband of a beautiful girl. I married my best friend. Her name is Ola. And we're actually in marriage for almost 11 years, I guess. And, but moreover, what's interesting, we've been knowing each other maybe for 20, 25 years. I'm 33. We have known that pretty much time. So most of a lot. So, you know, and sometimes we joke that on ourselves that we should write a book later, of course, in a decade or two or so, because we have a very interesting love story. So, and yeah, I love her so much. That's my support and advisor, you know, everything. At the same time, we have two beautiful kids, 4 and 7, boy and girl, and two just awesome treasures in our life. And as you said, also, I'm one of the leaders at Hosanna Church here in Lviv. At the same time, I teach and preach at church. This is what I love to do, and I consider that my spiritual gifts. I just need to use them. I love to use them because I understand that God gave me that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like you said, I'm tech entrepreneur. I love technologies. I love software. I love to travel around the world and talk to people and businesses, how to help them with technologies. And just recently, by the way, bro, I guess I didn't tell you that, but I had me and my wife actually we localized a church online platform.
Dude, that's awesome.
From Live Church, yeah, we localized that into Ukrainian, and just recently released that to in our church. Actually, last Sunday that was first online service. Man. That's beautiful service. I really recommend you to use that in your church. That's totally free, man. No other notifications during this holy time of Sunday service. Live chat, integrated Bible online, you know. And moreover, for me as a tech entrepreneur, I love the user interface, you know, perfect. And very smooth software stability. And man, that's totally free for churches.
Goodness, that's awesome. That. I'll also send me a link to where people can find that so that we can make sure that people can take advantage of that because free stuff is awesome, especially for the church.
I'll do that. Yep. Yeah, that's about me. And maybe last thing, what's more important, I love sports. I love workouts, you know, and that's what you, I know you love as well. And we're bros. High five. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's about me.
Alrighty. So is that how do you keep up with you know, your health with sport right now? Because that's a struggle for me, at least right now. You know, I thank God we have a dog. Just for anybody who's watching, the Ukrainian government has actually put restrictions on who can walk in the park. And if you have a dog, you can walk in the park. But if you don't, you're not really supposed to. So if the police catches you without a dog, you know, so thank God for our dog. But, you know, aside from that, I tried some home workouts from like Athlean X, and I like when you're doing the pull-ups on a chair with a broom handle, like the chairs are moving around and I'm like, I'm going to break my neck doing this or something. Mm-hmm. So I stopped doing that. So how do you keep up with sports? You know,
you know, about the sports, unfortunately, I don't have a dog. I think I will purchase some kind of toy puppy when government needs to, will give us just a possibility to go outside with the dog. So let's do that. No problem. We need some fresh air. Yeah, that's kind of fun. But, you know, with the workout, I mean, man, I love sports. And people have been struggling with the quarantine and the stay-at-home mode last 3 weeks. But I want to tell you that my quarantine started on February 6th. This is 2 months ago. This is like 8 weeks ago.
Oh, why? Goodness sakes.
Yeah, why? Because I had second knee surgery. And I just stayed home there. And I was looking forward to go outside the home. And bingo, the quarantine came up.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That was fantastic. So, yeah. I, like, very friend of mine, this mutual friend, Costa, like, borrowed me bumbles.
You know, dumbbells. I don't have dumbbells.
Dumbbells. I'm sorry. Yeah. Dumbbells. Sorry. My
no problem.
Dumbbells. And I have that. And every day. And you know what? This is... during the quarantine, this is the period of my life when I have sports every day. I didn't have that before the quarantine.
Wow, dude.
Unfortunately, no cardio, but yeah, but dumbbells, my best friends right now.
Yeah. Do you, I was going to say, that wouldn't work for you. I was going to say, my cardio right now is going up and down the stairs. But that wouldn't work for you after a knee surgery. We live on the
beautiful.
You know, that's a cardio workout for sure.
Yeah. I'll try to make it, but yeah, I have to do like step by step, very smooth. So my mode is not like my condition, the condition of my knee is not like good enough for stairs, for cardio with stairs, but stairs make sense as well. So I do that every day as well.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. Good deal. Mm-hmm. It's also a good way to, you know, I think some people will think good job, David, and others will think, David, you're a germaphobe, but really it lessens the contact. Maybe people will know, maybe not, but mm-hmm. here in Eastern Europe, the elevators are like a quarter of the size of American elevators. So when you're in an elevator here, if there's somebody else in the elevator, you are definitely within the danger zone or whatever the doctors would say. Yeah. So we're trying to take the stairs probably as often as possible, not just for cardio, but for, you know, mm-hmm. keeping it from spreading the virus.
Not that social distancing as required. Yeah. In our elevators.
Yeah. But even in in American elevators, it's an enclosed space and you're breathing the same air mm-hmm. for however long, you know, especially if it's a tall building. So, let's like, you're already talking about the positive side, getting sport every day, you know, like you're working out like you never have. Like, what other positive things can you talk about? Because I'm trying to find like the silver lining, we say, you know, in these things, so that just both to take advantage of the opportunities that we have, but also just to kind of not lose your mind, you know. Mm-hmm. So what are some positive things that you've seen out of this new situation that we have?
Yeah, this is a new situation for almost each person in this on the globe. You know, as for me, first of all, when I'm thinking about something positive in this new situation during this quarantine time, I'm thinking about like new kind of thinking about like updated, I call it updated and upgraded mindset, because a lot of people, for most of the people, this is kind of like new, new maybe recession or new kind of this situation in the world. A lot of people have never had that before.
I'm so gonna write this down.
We have to, yeah. So first of all, we have to think about like new kind of thinking, updated and upgraded mindset. And because, I mean, everything goes from that. I mean, from heart, but mindset as well. And, you know, just recently I heard a very, very good thought that I just want to quote that for you, that your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And that was said by pastor, and I started to think, yeah, indeed, because we make decisions every day. We stayed home, and you know that I recently heard statistics that about the highest range of divorces in China, because people stayed home for, I don't know, weeks, months,
yeah.
And they just hate. I mean, marriages. They just hated each other, you know? Yeah. And the same is about like businesses. I mean, this is new normal for businesses, for organizations. People used to meet each other in person, like discuss something, meetings, et cetera, et cetera. But now they have to do that online, for example. Yeah. And that's kind of new type of thinking. Churches, for example. I mean, for me as a tech guy, online guy, and innovator, I love that time because we can have like impact for more people using online. But for a lot of people, that's just, you know, I mean, that's just impossible. How church can meet online? How can I attend church service online? Or, I mean, tell people about Christ online, or, you know, pray online, or I mean people cannot just, you know, repent or online or whatever it is. You know, I had a funny story, bro. I want to share you about that, answering this question for you. Two weeks before quarantine, maybe two, three, right before quarantine was announced officially, people actually have never heard maybe quarantine or didn't think about that could be in their lives.
Yeah, but, yeah.
For example, we met, we had like each 2 weeks church leaders meeting, and I came up to that meeting with the idea that that my wife, Olya, she recently started a Bible group, and because she stays at home with two kids, I'm at work, you know, and she just literally can not, like, let's say, go somewhere to the city, but moreover, the students are school peoples or so.
Yeah.
So they are young, and the parents will not allow them to go after school or in the evening to, let's say, to the group or so. And I suggested her, so for example, okay, let's do kickoff meeting on Saturday or so. Mm-hmm. But weekends this is like family time for us, and it's hard to do that on a regular basis. And I suggested that online. And when I came up to the leaders' meeting, I said, hey, I mean, you know, first, that's going to be first group in history of our church that will be online. And the rest of seven church leaders look at me like, again, you know, Andrew came up with his innovative idea online. You know, that's just unbelievable. That's impossible. Yeah. Only one pastor, Dima, said that, sounds interesting, but let's just try meet in person. And you know what? Next meeting was in person, but after that, quarantine was announced. And the whole church just was switched to online. And we received a lot of like messages and calls like, hey, what tools do you use? How do you do that online? What internet connection or, you know, like speed you need, internet speed you need or whatever. And of course, we would love to help them with that. Yeah. I didn't know that, but that was fun. So that's kind, you know.
Are you like the innovative? Are you the innovator in your team? Does that make sense? Like, are you the one that pushes new ideas?
I think yes. Yeah, I think yes. And, you know, and the third thing, what's interesting as well, that, I mean, generally, again, if you're talking about church, mm-hmm. We have around like 100 attenders on our Sunday service, physically, right? But first Sunday service online, which was on March 22nd, I mean, that was coincidence. I preached that Sunday. I mean, that was a plan before quarantine. And pastor said, is it okay for you to preach and like leaders team to preach to empty hall, just to cameraman and another cameraman? I said, well, yeah, this is a pretty new experience for me, but let's try. And friends gave me ideas. Maybe you should do that on like online from home, like here, or, you know, whatever, in pajama style. That's not usual for me. I don't feel good. Of course, I mean, if I have opportunity to even be in a church building to speak to empty hall, but online, I would use that. And we did it. Actually, that was fun. That was a new experience. But 100 of physical attenders converted to more than 300 online viewers. And I didn't know that. We saw that statistics afterwards, after Sunday service. And you're asking about new opportunities. I'm telling you, bro. I mean, more than 300 attenders. I don't know who are those people. Mm-hmm. But why I pushed, and I will do that every time, the innovations, technologies to help, to leverage, to reach people for Christ, because I feel that there are a bunch of people that would love to look behind the scenes of in church, what's going on there, but mm-hmm. they just can't, simply because they're afraid of something new, uncertainty, or just they are shy. Mm-hmm. And, we can use that to give them possibility. Look at the church from there, like, okay, iPhone, okay. No, I wasn't there. You know, especially in Western Ukraine, you know that.
People
afraid of go to, you know, churches. I mean, they mostly Orthodox or Greek Catholic, which is great, but I mean, they afraid to come to churches like Protestant churches, you know?
Yeah.
So we, using technologies, I would love to give them that ability and opportunity to come. And that's fun.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We've been talking about that with some other folks. That idea of, you know, maybe the stigma mm-hmm. against Protestants here. Which is interesting because I talked to actually recently made friends with a Greek Catholic priest, and we had pizza with him and his wife.
Nice.
It was like 2 weeks before the quarantine, something like that. And you know, they really don't know who we are. It was very interesting. The Protestants that they've had experiences with, I don't think I would hang out with. You know, that it's these weird fringe, you know, radical. I don't. It's a bad representation of who we are, I think. And so that's been, you know, interesting. But on the other hand, this new opportunity, what I'm hoping for right now is that as people see more of our content and see more of what we're saying and who we really are, rather than the bad press, that, you know, that would maybe change the stigma, I'm hoping. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, again, this is new normal for a lot of people, different people, different churches, businesses, organizations, ages, etc. And we need, you know, man, we have to use this time as an opportunity to tell them about Christ. It's not about forma of church. It's not about how our Sunday service looks like or what. We just have to show them Christ gospel, and if they find Christ in their churches, nice. I mean,
yeah.
If they don't go to church, nice. But yeah, I mean, people who read the Bible, they will definitely find that you have to be a part of congregation, you know?
Yeah.
Because you will lose. Probably you will lose if you will be alone. So yeah, I mean,
have you guys thought about one thing that a friend of mine from our church suggested for us to do, and I'm still kind of chewing on this, trying to process what the best way to implement this would be, is we need to adapt our content, like sermons, you know, videos online and all that kind of stuff, for the new audience that we have. The potential, not just the potential new audience, the real new audience that we have, because he was watching our service online on Sunday, and he noticed that all kinds of he's an IT guy, and all kinds of his programmer buddies were, you know, watching, and these people would never set foot in a church, wouldn't come with, you know, 2 meters from a church. And so, but he said that they'd come on, they'd watch 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, sometimes even, you know, a few minutes, but then, you know, Facebook, you're doing this. And there's this constant like stream of information. So how can we either shorten or maybe even, I think in Ukrainian, I would say sharpen our content. So like, have you guys thought about that, this kind of change in audience and then change in content to adapt to the audience?
Yeah. We've been thinking, I mean, actually we think about that. We discussed that. We tried to implement something, but not everything yet. But well, my vision, my opinion in that is that, you know, we have to even cut some parts or even just avoid, if you do that online in real time streaming, some parts of our usual Sunday service. For example, please, our prayer leader of our church, don't blame me, but I mean, sometimes it's not just good to stream online, you know, our prayer time in church during the Sunday service, which is great. We need to pray for each other, and it's encouraging, but that's not good, I think, for good pace of online service.
Yeah, the pacing, I understand. Or maybe there's a way to change prayer so that it fits this medium better. Like, we've been thinking about that. So I don't mean to stop you, interrupt you.
I have a lot of ideas how to do that. You know, even this Church Online platform gives opportunity to just to receive, or like for viewers, just shoot their prayer request, and the church will be praying next week, let's say, or even as well, you will have opportunity to have a connection with those people, you know, and to check what's going on with their life, and you know, observe some kind of new opportunities for relationships or so. So I mean, another thing, like worship time. I love worship. I'm not a musician. There are only two people who sing like Michael Jackson. This Michael Jackson and me. so just to we understand each other, no one else in my church and in Ukraine and other countries, but
kind of nasally high like voice or
whatever. Yeah, something like that, and dancing as well. So yeah. Okay. But for example, worship time. I think that we have to upgrade even our instruments, our music. If we play lyric musics, you know. I'm extrovert. I like more, you know, like not lyric music, something like that.
You like driving music, right? Like that kind
of. That's right, bro. Yeah. But I mean, I understand that you cannot just stream on just only drive music. It's different. But we have to, first of all, test how it will be, you know, how online attenders will listen that, how that would be, will be online. For example, drums. It's great without drums. It's not good, I guess. I mean, this is my opinion. Okay, I'm not a musician, but I'm telling you what I think when I look on the screen of a laptop and hear from the dynamics or so speakers. I'm sorry. That it has to be, you know, I mean, inspirational service, inspirational online Sunday service or so. Yeah. People have to be churched, you know, with the good emotions, with a good word, with the Holy Spirit, because we are as human beings, we're a set of all these, you know, parts, like spiritual, physical, emotional, and we as a church, we have to work on this, you know, mm-hmm. and a lot of stuff, of course, visuals, I mean, quality, audio and video, et cetera, et cetera. No, man, first two or three online services, we had so many technical issues. I was just like, I don't know the word depression, but I think I was almost there, you know, mm-hmm. because for me as a tech guy, as an innovator, I mean, I want to have that smooth, but we didn't have it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Last Sunday service was cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And I understand that, like, we had this last Sunday, we had the same thing where we normally do services through Zoom, because we already have the paid version, because we do, like, you know, 2 to 3 hour meetings, like, constantly, mm-hmm. and it's we were gonna have the service anyway, so why not yeah. use it for mm-hmm. church. You know, we couldn't get the sound right with worship this past Sunday, so they were just like, okay, scrap everything, we're just going to go through Facebook Live. And everybody was all nervous, and the pastor shortened his sermon, and it was just like thing after thing after thing. So but like we talked about with the backup, like with my camera not working today and everything, Facebook Live worked like a charm. So yeah. You know, always have that plan B is really important, I think.
Facebook Live is a good option, of course. I mean, mm-hmm. but you have to take care about hardware, you know, mm-hmm. wires. What we found, even wires, mm-hmm. I mean, is highly important, you know, yeah. mic or so. So yeah, what I mean, again, this is new reality for churches, for tech. You didn't think about that months ago, okay?
Yeah.
But you have to think about it.
I'm sorry,
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we have to think about that today. Mm-hmm.
One of the other things you said about, like, with drums, without drums and everything, I am a musician, and I know what you're talking about. Like, I remember one time we were doing a prayer marathon between four different churches in America. And, you know, we'd have live streaming from each church into one location, and that location would stream to the internet. And people would send in their prayer requests. It was a really, really cool thing. We do it every year between Horizon Indianapolis, church in Philadelphia, and a couple of other ones. I hope they still do that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But a really cool experience. And one of the things that I noticed was we would have worship in all the different locations. And there was a couple, an older couple, that sang, oh, how he loves us, oh, how yeah, he loves
I love
us.
That song.
You know, great song. But because of the microphone they were using, because of the camera they were using, because of the lack of light that they had, because they were using just one guitar and their two voices, and because of the way mm-hmm. that they were trying to arrange the song, people don't think about how a camera and then a computer screen, like you're going through several filters at the same time. Camera, mm-hmm. computer screen, the internet changes the dynamics of the music and all that kind of stuff. You know, it changes the way, not just the way it sounds, but the way it's received.
Yes. And especially receive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And what I'm trying to do is like increase, because I'm just thinking about maybe my viewers would think like, Andri, David, why are you guys being so picky, and why can't I just have, you know, like worship like normal? Well, it's not that we're trying to be, you know, like perfectionists, or we're trying to take the heart out of music or something like that. No, we're thinking about the person in the end that's watching this online, right? It's harder to worship like that, especially when the arrangement is wrong. You gotta test it. You gotta think these through, and then think about how am I serving the person behind the screen.
Let me add something from my end as well. What motivates me to emphasize on that? Again, I'm not technician. I'm not software developer. Even I'm not even perfectionist. I'm that guy that they would like to do our best, even with, let's say, online streaming of Sunday worship, you know, because we do that for God. This is His, obedience. Please do that. Do everything what you do. Do that as for God. And especially when you worship or you, let's say, stream the God's word, the sermon, etc. Of course, there could be, like, we are in software called bugs, right? Problems. No code, no bugs, like software engineers say. So if you don't do anything, of course you will be perfect, because everything will sound perfect. Everything will look perfect, because it will be nothing. We have to, if we do something, we as a servants, we have to try to improve step by step everything. And I'm talking about drums. That was just an example, man.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about listeners, attenders, how they will, how they will interact with Sunday service or church using their laptop, and do our worship inspire them or not? Does my sermon make a difference to their lives online, of course, or not? Does it give them fire through screen or not? So that's important. Of course, I'm not talking about perfectionism, because it's all about actually budget.
Yeah.
When we're talking about technologies, it's all about budget, first of all.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So we have to juggle with equality and budget. And, you know, bro, about the Global Leadership Summit, right?
I love it. Yeah.
I love it. I'm in that team for 6 years, and I'm responsible for marketing, and I will do that, as a volunteer. And last year, last summit, I heard a very, very good message from Craig Rochelle called Getmo, good enough to move on. It doesn't, the short thought that to reach better results, you don't have to invest more money. You can use your resources, what you have right now. But if you think a little bit, brainstorm maybe with your team, that resources, what you have, you can reach better results.
Yeah.
And you know, our pastor, he recalled us like 2 weeks ago after our fail on the tech side of second worship online. He recalled me about that, because I said, oh guys, we need a new computer. That's kind of okay. $500. Mm-hmm. We need upgrade our wires, like $200, whatever numbers, but we need some budget.
And it just keeps on going up and up and up and up and up and up. And you can spend $1 million and still have problems. Yes.
And he recalled that Getmo. And we invested 200 hryvnias. It's kind of less than $100 just to purchase new wires because of the sound of quality. And you know what? The last previous Sunday service, that was third service online, was really cool.
Awesome. Yeah, my wife and I always, our service, just for anybody who's watching, our service happens at 2, their service happens at 3. And so usually... unless we have a meeting right after service, we watch we take part in our service, and then we watch y'all's service. So it's we love connecting with Hosanna,
Thank you, bro. Yeah. Thank you. We do our best. We are one family, We do one work. We're in the same boat.
Amen. One of the big conversations that's happening right now between my pastor friends in seminary, and then also among some Calvary guys, is how do we do Good Friday? How do we do Easter Sunday? How do we do communion? And there's like people that have said, well, we'll just figure it out. And then there's some that are like ready to you know, like, this is the way we're going to do it, and they're going to fight about it. Like, so how have you guys reconciled? Mm-hmm. What are you guys planning on doing next week? Because it's this week in America and next week here in Ukraine. So that's right. What are you guys planning for Good Friday and Easter Sunday?
Actually, that will be almost the same, of course, with minor changes, as we do that normally. Of course, online service. I mean, on Thursday evening, mm-hmm. and Sunday.
Mm-hmm. But, so technically the same, like as far as the technology, the same.
That's right, yes. But mm-hmm. the minor thing is, we've been thinking about how can we do the Lord's Supper on Thursday, for example. And we came up to the idea that we are not big church, like mm-hmm. 120 people. So we have deacons, and they will prepare on Wednesday or Thursday morning, for example, mm-hmm. the bread or chips or...
Oh, I'm sorry, I should butt in here. Good Friday in Ukraine is celebrated on Thursday, not on Friday like yes. in America. So keep going. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's the cultural difference. But I thank you for emphasizing that. I know that, but I started to answer the question without that.
So they'll prepare it either on Wednesday evening or Thursday morning.
No, Thursday evening.
Okay, Thursday
evening. We celebrate. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean the elements. You were saying that the deacons would get together.
Yeah. So they will come, they will prepare the wine, chips, or bread, or like grape juice or what, on Wednesday evening. And they will deliver themselves, I mean, they will pray with pastor on this bread and wine, and we will pack that into special, how does it call in English?
Ziplocs?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a small containers or what that.
Yeah.
And personally deliver that to families, each family in church. Of course, I mean, we have someone that's in other cities, so they will prepare that ourselves. But in Lviv, in our city, we will try to deliver to each family. And when the Good Friday will come, which is Good Thursday in Ukraine, evening, yeah. People will have that ready. And when the service online will start, they will have it. And pastor will pray, so we will have the same, but they will use that online, but prepare that physically before. We find that workaround, you know, and we thought that it's good. We again, we have never tried that before, but we think that it will work out.
One of the things that came up at our church council meeting yesterday, we talked about that option. Mm-hmm. And we're still like figuring a lot of these things out, but how are you guys going to, like, I'm assuming gloves, masks, like when you prepare these things, it's food, you know, and that's a very high risk transfer moment. Like, what are you guys planning on doing with that?
For example, if you're talking about wine, I mean, wine is packed, right? So they will unpack and try to make it very clean. With mm-hmm. gloves and masks, and try as much perfect as they can. Mm-hmm. So to deliver that. When we're talking about bread, for example, we have a sister, she will bake the bread mm-hmm. Or purchase something packed, mm-hmm. buy that, and again, try to make it as much perfect
as can I? I'm going to step out just for a second. I want to show you something, if that's okay. I'm going to have to leave. I'll probably cut this part out when I'm editing this, but give me a second.
No problem.
So I've got an option for you guys, if you haven't thought about it yet. This is a package of crackers. Nice. And it's basically, it's not the same as matzah, but I think if you're not Jewish, you can barely tell the difference.
Nice.
It's just salt and like flour, you know, and maybe some oil. So, and it comes in a package like this.
Oh yeah. Cool.
In America, we know them as saltines. I actually ate these all the time growing up, but I never thought of it about it as communion crackers until I think one church in Texas started using them for that. But it's basically like the recipe is so close to matzah. You know,
I think this is an excellent idea, bro. Because
yeah, it's you know, sealed.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't eat bread or anything related to bread because of my metabolism. My metabolism doesn't like bread, you know? So I'm not acknowledged about that. And I don't know this like a life hacks or so, but you showed me a really excellent idea. I will definitely pass that to our leadership team in the church. And I think it will avoid, and save a lot of time and effort.
Mm-hmm. So you can get those at Ashan if you guys are...
Ashan, okay.
Cool. It's actually Ashan brand, you know, crackers. So.
Oh, sweet. Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I love them with...
Even the price is good.
With peanut butter, I love them with, I don't know, like you can, like, yeah, they're very...
I like peanut butter.
Yes, I love peanut butter. I'm an American. Yes, that's definitely true. Yeah.
I'm physically Ukrainian, but inside I'm American. Oops, I said that.
You have been over there. How many times have you been to America? And you travel a lot, basically.
Yeah. I don't know, like not a lot, but I mean, mm-hmm. I communicate every time with Americans, maybe 8 times in my life or 9 or something like that. States, yeah. But yeah, but I love that culture.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So, actually, answering that question, this is maybe pretty everything. So, not super significant, but yeah. But we've been thinking about that. So, like, we trying to make it smooth. You know, great, and yeah, and but focus on the goal number one for this holiday.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Actually, yeah. Yeah.
That's one of the things that I had a meeting with the students of my class group at seminary, and our faculty dean, Sasha Savage or Alexander Savage. He said, guys, you know, the Resurrection Day is not canceled. Easter is not canceled. Okay. Think opportunity wise, think in the way that how you can maximize what's happening, not minimize and say, oh, sorry, church, we can't have it the way we're used to. No, mm-hmm. people are going to be with their families at home. Like they can, yes. This could be a positive thing in the end. So,
And church is a family. So church has to be with families, mm-hmm. online, offline, you know, find some new tricks how to deliver, pack, you know, that, but we have to be together because we're spiritual family.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And speaking of family, you guys have a nice little family. I remember a long time ago, we need to do this again once quarantine ends, but we went over and we had tea with you guys or lunch or something. And it was back when you guys were living, I think, in a different part of town.
Yeah.
But anyway, how do you guys like balance work, ministry, kids, like staying as a couple, you know, close and everything? How does that work for you?
Oh, very good question, bro. I'm an extrovert guy, you know, sometimes I have to recall, I have a family. Oh, but yeah, that was joke, you know.
Oh, I understand what you mean.
But you understand, so. Right?
Yeah.
You know, a very good question, but the answer will be something that just recently changed my life. Maybe a year ago. Yeah, so very, very fresh. I have a mentor. Actually, I have like two mentors. And I really recommend, I mean, to all the listeners, brothers and sisters, friends, like if you want to grow faster, if you want to know shortcuts in your life or, I mean, good shortcuts, right? And if you want to live your life more productive, I do really recommend you find a mentor. So my mentor recommended me to create a life plan. like just life plan. Okay, everyone knows what life plan, but he asked me, do you have a life plan? I said, oh, of course. Can you describe me? And I started to like, oh, boom, 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 boom. I mean, I didn't have that written, for example, on the paper. So he helped me to create that. And for example, I have a template from him. He's from Sweden. He actually works at Google Sweden. So
yeah, that's big.
He's a really mature guy, and he's Swedish. Well, I like Swedish, that culture, they actually, the culture that know how to manage that work-life balance. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that they work less. Oh boy, they work a lot, but they pursue that work efficiently.
Yeah, so, actually, people that come from Sweden, sorry to interrupt you, but people that come from Sweden that move to America are some of the hardest working, I think, people in America, and they're actually some of the highest earning people in America. So like it's yeah, totally. Those Northern European countries, when they go to they're very hardworking people.
Of course. I mean, I knew about such a kind of approaches that you have to know your mission, you know, your vision, focus, values, goals, et cetera, et cetera. But he helped me to shape it into one A4. I mean, like I said, I had that.
And so what's an A4 for an American listener? What's an A4?
A4, this is the format of paper.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I mean, just it doesn't matter. I mean, just, you know, create a Google Doc or Word document and just do that. So I can share that template with you guys if you want, because
yes,
it's really
please.
Helped me to save a lot of time, but to understand what's really important. But of course, it will not do that everything for you. So, you know, I had a really good time with myself, with my wife. That's all. I mean, and with him as well, when we discussed that, to shape my mission, my life mission, why I'm here, just write it down, my vision, my values. And after that, you know, I understand, okay, here it is. And after that, I understood, okay, here will be my focus on this. Just very briefly, just some kind of insights. I understood that I have like three dimensions in my life. First, this is my family. Family number one. I'm the only one who support. I'm a priest here. I'm a father. I'm a husband. So first. Second is my church. My church, I mean, but my serving God through the church,
yes,
and
yes, yes,
giving back to society, make a difference. So I call that leave a timestamp in this world. Mm. When I, during this 70, 80, 100 years, I don't know, it doesn't matter. I want to live every day with the energy that, and go to bed understanding that that was a cool day, and father, daddy, are you happy with this day of me, you know? Mm-hmm. So make a difference through that. And third is my job and business. I mean, because I know that God gave me these skills and gifts to, you know, create a workplaces, mm-hmm, generate revenue to help church people, and serve God through the business as well. So three of this, I did that. And you know, the picture became much, much, much clearer for me. Mm-hmm. And I understood, okay, so this priorities, focuses, this is major, minor. And I mean, it helps me to second think what I would, like to emphasize, this is a calendar, simple calendar, simple calendar on phone. Just, you know, plan. Of course, this is advice from my two mentors. Just stick with your calendar and you will not rush anytime. You know, you will, of course, there are like force majeures or whatever, but calendar, it helps to keep you focused. Mm-hmm. Of course, my wife, she inspires me. She's my, you know, she's my, help me to understand, help, I forgot that word in English, the doctor appointment when fix my mind.
Yeah, she's like your psychological help.
psychological help, and my best friend, you know, my inspiration. So she helps. She's an amazing girl, you know, and she helps me to sometimes just, you know, like, hey man, just stop your running, stop, and think about, is this the right direction? Is this the right life plan created? Are you realistic with your mission and vision and values? Because sometimes in this rush, in this high-paced world, we can create a perfect life plan. It could be really good for you, but you cannot go align with this.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you guys, like, this is, we're speaking strategically. Let's zoom in a little bit and think more tactically, if that makes sense. Okay. Of course. Like, at least for me and Katya, we're together in the same apartment more. But I actually feel like we don't spend as much time together as before the quarantine, because she's super busy. I'm super busy. Like there are new opportunities and new things that we're doing every day, especially with the church. You know, churches are more busy now than they were before, I think. So one of the things that we started doing, and we should have been doing all this time, but we started doing, is have coffee together and pray for 5 minutes, at least 5 minutes, you know? So that's kind of a, like, yes, yeah, strategically have make sure that the family's first and everything, but tactically, like, how have you addressed, at least for us, there's a lot more pressure now. Is there anything that you guys have added or changed, if that makes sense?
You know, the same thing, man. I mean, I mostly spend time with computer right now.
Yeah.
More than with my wife. Yeah. I mean, for me, I try to wake up at like 6:30 a.m. to have my time, read scriptures, scripture, pray, my time alone. After that, like quick workout, and after that, we have a breakfast together. We pray together. We start the day together, because my working out hours starts at, let's say, 9:10 a.m. Dear American friends, we start work later because, I mean, we work with the U.S. time zone, so we have to cover that overlap.
Yeah.
After that, lunch together, you know, sometimes, I mean, like during the day, just, you know, chat, just, you know, spend, just drink coffee together. So not just like stick with that slots. And you know what, my life hack that I have, using calendar, I did the reminder, it calls artificial deadline. Artificial deadline. It says that, man, okay, your work day is coming up, but in 1 hour, you have to finish your work. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do, but it reminds me, so the pop-up. Because we have time with family, you know, my work will never end.
Of course, dude. Yeah.
My clients will every time will need to communicate or so. So, I mean, every time a lot of stuff to do, but I have to measure, how many hours I have to work or whatever. So then is just like family time, dinner, just time with kids. After that, we read book with kids, they go to bed, we try to make them go to bed. It's always a battle.
Yeah.
So we have a battlefield there, kids' room. So, and after that, every time, it's like different words, like different situation. If they sleep, we have time together as well. So that's precious time together, no notifications. No messages, no calls, just we together, we just
turn the phone off, man.
Sit that's, and talk.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good life hack for me. It's difficult, but sometimes I think I have to do that. Just turn it off.
Mm-hmm. How do you guys keep your kids active? At least I know that, like, read studies or articles that, like, the more you move about in the day, the easier it is to sleep at night. So do you guys do anything to keep the kids from going stir crazy?
Yeah, I mean, daddy loves workout. So 2 weeks ago we started family workout at 9 a.m. Mommy try to avoid that, but three of us, we do that. So we start the day. We try to walk my boy, he is, oh boy, he's maybe one of the most super, super energetic guys in this globe.
He's a boy.
So sometimes he's a boy. Yeah. I mean, like, I look at him, I see myself in him. So, so we try to walk, you know, but what's interesting, my wife, she's really good tutor. She's like teacher. So sometimes we try to balance the activity physically and mentally. And once we balance that activity, because every time people think about like, okay, they're active, energetic, that's just they need to walk outside. Yes, that's important, but they need to have active their brains. So English, school, home. Oh yeah, this is a new challenge as well for us. We don't do that. But yeah, my wife, she knows how to do that. We try to do that. We're not perfect at that, but yeah. So
I mean, job.
That's something that we do practice, and it works more or less, better or not, but it works.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Coming to the close of our time, I hope I haven't taken too much of your time. This is going a little over what we planned. How can we pray for you guys? For you as your family, or also your church, your ministry, your business, you know?
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of prayer requests, if you don't mind, but let me just like emphasize on one. You know, in this crazy time, in this unprecedented time.
Yeah, unprecedented. Yeah.
Unprecedented. Yeah. This is a super new English word for me. I try to practice. I started on Monday, so you hear that. I think one thing, you know, if you don't mind, of course, I'm like just write just this word, like just perform my calling from God, you know, to hear from Him, like, you know, I mean, yeah, to perform his calling, and when the life goes to the end, I would love to hear from him. Great job, son. Come here.
Awesome.
You know, yeah. So that's about the mission and vision. So because you don't know what will happen in a week. We don't know whether the quarantine the recession will finish or not. But that's what kind of spotlight for me, how to plan my day and week. Yeah. And if we have this conversation right now, I will prepare a sermon for this Sunday. Mm-hmm. And just for the sermon preparation, to bring the fire to people, bring, you know, just God's word, that more and more people just fell in love with God and start to follow him and live with him.
Amen. That's what we want. That's every time. Okay. You know, there's a couple of things with the performing calling. Chris Liu, he's another guy from Andri's church, just for everybody who's watching. He was my first interview on this channel. And he shared some stuff that really encouraged me along those lines of calling and being useful and being effective. So just a plug, also, Andrew, if you want to check out that interview, if you haven't watched it yet, like
I did.
Chris shared some things that was just like, you know, finding your identity in Christ, even on those days where it feels like you're just spinning your wheels, like I think we say in Ukrainian, buksuyish, yeah. You know, like you're just like, I'm not being effective today, God. So it feels terrible. So how do you deal with that spiritually? You know, so like, really good stuff. I really enjoyed that interview.
Yeah. I've listened that, and I enjoyed, because I love you, bros, both of you. And once you published that, I was maybe one of the first listeners. And you know what, man? I mean, just maybe in the for the end of this conversation, why this? Because last time I live with the passage in scripture from Revelation 21:7, which says that I have in front of me, so I read that in English, that those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Mm-hmm. This is my best verse ever in whole Bible, because this is something that I understand. We can chase in carrots, we can, you know, live with like spinning wheel life, but why just,
yeah,
for what yeah. Work for what you preach, for what you play in in worship, or for what you create your family, or I don't know, workout, mm-hmm. or just do what you do every day. Just think about that. And that's like Revelation 21:7. It pushes me that God says, if you do that, you'll be my son. And I want to hear that phrase, great job, son, come here, let's spend this, you know, time together.
Yeah, thank you for the reminder of that. That's one of the things that God's been, like, that's come up several times this week, actually, for me, that we're looking ahead, you know, and our hope has to be there, not here. Yeah. So that's something that I have struggled with in the past week or two, and so thank you. That's
nice.
I'm going to add that to the description of the video, actually. So
please. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Cool. Can I pray for you now? Can we pray for you guys?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Cool. And anybody who's watching, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for Andrew, for Hosanna Church, and for their family, and for the businesses that Andrew is a part of, and how those businesses serve you, Lord. I pray that you would help him in performing his calling with these three areas where he's serving his family, where he's serving your kingdom, and where he's serving in these businesses, where he's creating jobs, he's creating opportunities, and et cetera, et cetera. I pray that you'd help him to raise that flag of Christ is first, regardless of whatever I do, and give him strength, give him vision, give him your spirit, Lord. I pray that he would have assurance of that in the end, that you would say, great job, son, come here, and that you would already be reminding him of that you're already saying that. I pray for the sermon this Sunday, that you would give him a deep understanding of both your word and the needs of the people that will be watching, just a supernatural understanding of those two things and how to connect those two properly in the middle. So I pray that it would be a powerful sermon, and that Katya and I would even be able to watch it and say amen to the screen. Bless my brother, Lord, and thank you for the blessing that was this conversation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much, brother. It was really good talking to you. Time
thank
just
you,
flew
bro.
By.
Likewise.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alrighty. God bless.
Thank you. Yeah. God bless. Bye-bye. See ya.